Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chefs.
Yes, yes, yes. It is the Caller's Cookout here on the Sports City Chefs Network. You're here with the villain and the hero himself, where good always wins. Not all the time, but sometimes, maybe like half of the time, who knows? I mean, but, you know, not when you have an evil, maniacal supervillain in the building like you have right now. Myself, the villain, Barry, in the house. The call-in number is, as always, 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 90 minutes to talk some sports, mostly NBA on the docket tonight on the grill. We're going to cook that up. But, of course, I got the co-host, the man, the boss, the head honcho himself, TP Timeless. TP, what's up, brother?
I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. Sports City got a lot of stuff going on throughout this week. But we are back here in the building, or basically taking things outside while this grill is lit. I love all of the new stuff that's going on the website. Check us out at sportscitychefs.com. Even the feeds and the banners and everything that this villain has been up to. Boy, the dark clouds are going over the city, and I can't even be mad at the clouds he put over here. So I gotta try to restore the feelings, you know what I mean? But I'm feeling all right. How about you, Barry?
I'm good, man. Listen, I know you love the cards you're working with. I got the hero and the villain. You know, I had to do it right for us for Sports City. You know, we're doing big things, man. We're blessed. We're highly favored. And we making moves, man. We doing big things here. And I also got our other brother from another mother in the building, Eric Big Easy E, Eric Gross in the building. What's up, brother?
What is up, gentlemen? Feeling great tonight. Ready to get into this show with you guys. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about, my brothers.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'll get right into it because we don't want to waste too much time. NBA playoffs. Have started the play-in game tournament, giving you a little bit of college basketball feel, started last night. We had two games on the East Coast version of the play-in games. We had we had the Wizards and the Celtics, and we had the Pacers and the Hornets. So the Pacers and the Hornets, 144-117 Pacers, not much to talk about there. And then you had the Celtics and the Wizards, but really quickly, I, like I said, there wasn't much to talk about. I mean, you know, I was kind of getting clips of the game. I was out coaching Little League, coaching my son. Shout out to my family traveling down south, but coaching him yesterday, and I'm getting alerts from Sirius and everybody. All I can think of is Rocky IV, TP, when Duke's like, throw in the damn towel, because that's basically what happened last night in the first game of the play-in tournament. The Pacers and the Hornets just got their doors blown off. TP, I don't know if you caught any of that game last night. Sabonis had a monster game, 14 points, 21 rebounds, 9 assists, fooled around, almost got a triple-double. The Pacers, even though they're down a man, Caris LeVert, health and safety protocols, coming up with a COVID test, take care and dispatch the Hornets quite easily. I don't know if you saw the game, but give me your thoughts about it.
Stop. Don't say that you don't know if I caught the game, and I don't do that to me, not for all of the people.
I might have turned it off. I don't know.
Listen, so you turned it off, so we got to ask if you did it. See, this is what I'm talking about, Sports City. This is why I take off the blazer and loosen up the tie. This is crazy that I'm about to say what I'm about to say. Charlotte, you embarrassed yourselves while you could have took advantage of this situation. Now, mind you, This is a Pacer team that is dealing with injuries. They are not at full strength. They didn't even have Turner on the floor like that. Like these guys took advantage and slapped you around when you guys were at one point one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference. And you guys missing Gordon Hayward really meant that much. Like, I'm a big LaMelo Ball fan. I can't even be mad. I really want him to win Rookie of the Year. I don't know how the judgment is going to go. I still think it's up to him or Anthony Edwards. But they basically made him look like a shell of himself. He had bad shooting night, 4 for 14. And really, like, they were watching transition offense just blow by him. They were playing Ole defense in the midst of a Game 7 type of situation. This is win or go home, and you guys are going home? Like, what are you to do right here? Like I don't get it. Watching this much happen in front of you guys, this is shameful, especially while you guys were one of the talks of the league this year. Charlotte bouncing back and being at the bottom of the league and getting rid of Kemba and then bringing LaMelo in and having the season that he had. He suffered an interesting injury that had him out for some time. He fought back to get back there, and it seemed like the team had no fight. I can't believe the Pacers took that much advantage of not just winning the game, but beating them so sound that Charlotte did not look like a playoff team. If and when Gordon Hayward gets back next year, hopefully they can do better than what they did this year. But if not, they already have to plan on trying to move pieces. And I don't even want to talk about it like that because they're young. But the way that they look, they have no experience individual there other than Terry Rozier. I mean, that's fair for me to say because he played with Boston. But other than that, Gordon Hayward wasn't on the floor. And it's a bunch of youth out there. They got taken care of. I feel bad for the way the Hornets came out there playing flat, no coaching adjustments. And for them to lose that bad on their floor is disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I thought getting LaMelo back, he's been a little inconsistent since he came back with the hand injury, a little up and down. But I thought getting him back, even despite, to your point, not having Gordon Hayward, I thought that would give them a little juice, and they got blitzed. I mean, you're right. A shorthanded Pacer team, you know, you're getting contributions from McDermott. Brogdon's first game back since, I think, April, he looked pretty good. I think he had 16 points in the game. So, I mean, it was a clinic of, you know, a little bit of playoff experience and not a lot of playoff experience. Eric, I don't know if you caught the game as well. You know, your thoughts on the Pacers really downing the Hornets and the Hornets just not showing up to play in this game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you guys. You know, watching that game, the Indiana Pacers did whatever they want. I mean, they just steamrolled them. Mm-hmm. It was embarrassing to watch. Devontae Graham, who's really been on my list this year. This was a guy that I expected to break out this year, and he actually has backpedaled. So, you know, that's huge to watch. You know, this guy was supposed to be a budding superstar, and he actually went back. So LaMelo Ball, just like you said, villain, he didn't look like his normal self out there, but it's been, you know, it's to be expected coming back from that injury. Scary Terry didn't step up. There was a lot of things going on. It was, you know, pretty sad to watch. I was pulling for Charlotte, wanted them to win, and the Pacers just blitzed them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Caris LeVert didn't play. If they win the game tomorrow night, you know, he still wouldn't probably be available for the first round game, which is unfortunate. And it's something I do want to touch on before we get into tonight's games. But with the COVID, just get your opinions on that. But, you know, not having him, and to your point, TV, not having Miles Turner in the game and to still get beat down like that. The Hornets were, like, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, they were like a 4-5 seed halfway through the year, and I think since that LaMelo injury, they just had not played good basketball. They've been really inconsistent and up and down, and, you know, they looked like they were a solid playoff team, and now to play their way into the play-in game and then to not even show up for that play-in game and to kind of get bounced out is really disappointing. A disappointing end to, a season that, you know, LaMelo came in, gave them some excitement and, you know, gave them some juice, and they looked like they finally got the right draft picked with Miles Bridges and LaMelo to have some pieces to build around and brought in Hayward and Rozier, and to go out like this is just not good. It's just not good. I don't know if you guys got anything to add on that. TP, go ahead, brother.
It's bad that they lost by this much. You know, like they lost by 27 in Indy. DeMontis Sabonis was actually coming off of an injury. They didn't know if he was going to play. He out-rebounded them basically virtually by himself. He had 21 rebounds. He almost had a triple. He almost had a triple-double, and this guy's injured. He's injured. Like I don't get it. You did not take advantage of this at all. They were clean-cut killing these guys across the board. They got outscored every quarter except the fourth, in which they had to score 40. Well, they scored 39, but they basically had to score 40 points to outscore them, and the Pacers still scored 36 in that fourth quarter. This is, I don't know if it's more coaching or the inexperience of the youth that they have on this team, but I feel bad for one Michael Jordan, because this is his quote unquote one of his playoff runs, and this is basically just a postseason run. It's not even playoffs, but it's postseason, and they didn't help their guy out, you know, and losing this one in Indy this bad, it's crushing. I feel bad for the Hornets, and going into next season, I hope that this gets better. Unfortunately, they had bad injuries between LaMelo and Gordon Hayward, but this has to get better. It has to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's his name? I don't want to butcher his name. Borghejo, I think he's – yeah, I can't even say his name. The coach for Charlotte, James Borghejo, you know, I don't know if he's the right guy. I don't want to lay it all on his feet, but you got to get these guys ready to play. You know, they just didn't look good. Bridges had a good game. I like watching him. He's an exciting player, could jump through the roof. But I need this, you know, that's cute in the regular season. In the playoffs, man, it's a different animal, man. So highlight plays aren't going to win you games. You know, that one highlight play is only, what, 2 points maybe? So it's a long series, and a play-in is even shorter. So, you know, Eric, I don't know if you had anything to add, or we can go right to the next game.
Yeah, no, the whole panel, I agree with both of you, because – you've got to be prepared for this. This is playoff basketball. And to blow a dud like that, it's unacceptable. The coaching staff wasn't ready. The players weren't ready. And Gordon Hayward making that big of a difference, it would have made no difference, because as you both saw and everybody saw, there was no defense going on. The Pacers just did whatever they want when they wanted. So, they were just out-coached, out-played and everything, and it was pretty embarrassing. So, and like I said, I don't know what happened to Devontae Graham, but as you guys have seen this year, he's actually took a step back instead of taking that step to be a budding superstar like we thought he could be last year, showing us and then just completely not showing up. So, it was sad to see, but Gordon Hayward out there, I don't think it would have made any difference. I mean, even if he would have put up 20 points or 30 points, they still would have got blown out of the water. So they just weren't prepared fundamentally and on the defensive side of the ball.
No, absolutely not. So, we could tie a bow on that one. I mean, moving on to the next game, where do we start? Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics. Boston taking care of business at home, 118-100. Jason Tatum, you know, had another 50-point performance, what is he, only 23 years old? This kid is amazing. Jason Tatum looked good. Kemba Walker finally looked a little bit healthy, had a really good game. And, the Wizards just didn't have an answer. They had an early lead. Boston put their foot on the gas, and that was it. You know, it was a clinic. It really was for Boston, and you know, Washington just struggles. They struggle to play defense, and it showed again last night. They, you know, they did whatever they wanted. TP, I'll come right to you with the Boston Celtics clinching that seventh spot to face the Brooklyn Nets in the first round with a win against the Washington Wizards. Give me your thoughts on the game.
I don't even know how to do this. I kind of want to – let me do the bad first. No, okay. I'll do the good because it's easier to do the good, actually. Tatum, salute. I don't even know too much to say, especially with Jaylen Brown being out with a season-ending injury. I really felt like you guys would struggle trying to move on in advance. You guys did what you needed to do for him to go off for 50, shoot the ball decent from three, especially from the field as well. He was 100% from the free throw line. He was 17 for 17. He was not playing. I was always told, especially by some of the greats, but I can remember me being a diehard Miami Hurricane fan, there was a game that was won in the middle of Miami up against Florida State, and Jeremy Shockey won the game on a touchdown, but Santana Moss was the influential player, and they interviewed him at the end of the game, and he said, big-time players step up in big-time games. Jason Tatum, you are a big-time player. I've been on different networks and podcasts alike and talking about it. They've actually been trying to mention who was a better player, and Zach LaVine and Jason Tatum. I said Jason Tatum before this game happened. This actually helped me prove my point. Jason Tatum was so far on fire that they didn't know what to do to defend him. They had Rei Hachimura there. He got in foul trouble. He had to go sit down. Then they brought in Davis Bertans. He actually was plus minus. He was minus 23 on the floor, 1 for 8 for shooting. And at one point, this guy had an 87% from the field shooting day, shooting threes like a madman and could not score. And I think he was just flush trying to be one of the guys trying to handle Tatum and couldn't. Kemba came up with damn near a 30-point type of night. He had 29 points. I mean, it was 10 for 24, but still yet, actually had an excellent night. Everybody was saying Kemba was the one cooking, and I'm like, wait, what about what Tatum's bringing to the table? So they actually did this together. So this is something that they could ride. Brad Stevens, they are saving your job right now. I don't know how this continues, but I tip my hat to Boston. Everybody else kind of had a lukewarm night. Tristan Thompson actually helped as much as he possibly could. Having a double-double and actually shot 50% from the free throw line, which I thought he would miss some of the free throws, but it was like they were up so much, it was like a comfortable shot for him. So, Boston, I tip my hat, and this is exceptional for you guys to advance while you guys were down at least one of your leaders in Jaylen Brown. Now on the bad side of this coin, one first and foremost, Bradley Beal, I feel bad because you're dealing with an injury right now. His hamstring is bothering him.
Yeah.
Trying to get lift as best as he could and really couldn't. But Russell Westbrook, the season that you had and the attachment that I have with you since you've been in OKC and how you left was kind of funny and went to Houston and that didn't work out in a one-year situation. And then you turned into a media darling again and eclipsing Oscar Robertson and being a part of the conversation of being one of the best point guards ever. This game that you had right here, and especially while something isn't working, you're going to continue to try to work it. Wow, this is actually setting you back. You were negative 19 on the floor. This is not helping you. I don't get it when he doesn't see it not working. And you're an excellent player. You can score. You're not a dead shooter, 0 for 4 from 3. And this is something that people are going to, like, continue to pick on you about. And it's like you won't grow. Like grow. Like, get over yourself and, like, do something different. There's not too many bigs in the league that are going to jump with you. If you go to the lane and go dunk on a big man, I don't know who's going to jump with you. Who? Williams III is going to be the one that blocks your shot. He had one block in the game. That means nobody's attacking him in the paint. Like, if you look at the rest of the bigs on the team, Cornette, he had 4 minutes played, and that was garbage time at the end of the game. Bro, go attack the rim. You're not helping your team shoot threes if you're not a three-point shooter. You can hit them, yes. You play basketball, but enough is enough, man. Like, grow up. Like, grow up. You're better than that. Like, and I'm tired of people burying you. I'm tired of watching people do that to you and I'll be defending you. Like, I'm not doing that no more. is whack now. Like you're going to be this guy that's going to be one of the Karl Malones, the Dominique Wilkins, the Charles Barkleys, the Allen Iversons, the John Stocktons, great NBA player, no ring to follow because nobody can play with you. Nobody can play with you. And it's like you're watching Bill try to break himself trying to go out there and ball. Like, enough is enough, Russ. Like now it has to stop. I don't know when you're going to grow up, but it has to start now. Gustin, that you guys get beat this sound, this bad, while you probably were the favorite to go into Boston and steal that game while they're down Jaylen Brown. Like, enough. Enough. I've had it.
I'm glad you said it, and you said it first. First of all, and I'm going to come right to you, Eric. I got to follow up on what you said to you because I totally agree with you. Credit Brad Stevens for not only saving his job but coming up with a game plan to stop this team. Bradley Beal made it easy because he's hurt. He's battling a tender hamstring. So to your point, TP, we can't throw the blame at his feet. But the defense
Before you go on, there's another thing. They ran the three-guard set. So you have Ish Smith out there on the floor with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal while Bradley Beal is hurt, and you're dealing with a hot Kemba and Jason Tatum out there? Like, Todd Brooks, that's the name. I don't know what happened. I think it's an OKC blur. Like we're just going to go mess up D.C. right now, the two of y'all. Like, unheard of. I'm sorry.
You're right. And they had to do it because Brad Stevens said, I'm going to put Jason Tatum on Russell Westbrook. Why? Because he's bigger and stronger. He's 6'9", and he's not going to be able to drive against them and get finished at the rim. You're going to have to work to get to the rim against Tatum because he's long and athletic, and if you do, I'm going to have a big right there. So what did Westbrook have to do? Shoot the ball. And he was shooting. I thought that there was going to be another stadium built. So many bricks he was shooting off the back of the backboard, off the back of the rim. This is the problem I have with Russell Westbrook is one of the great point guards of all time. He's top 10 for me. No question about it. His game doesn't fit today's game because he can't shoot and he hasn't gotten better at it. That's why I give him a hard time because point guards like Steph Curry and Dame Lillard and even CP3, they can get to the hole and get their shot, but they can shoot. So when you try to put a longer guy like Tatum or LeBron on them, they can still step back and shoot the ball and shoot it from deep. Wessel can't do that. He can't shoot, and he hasn't gotten better at shooting. Jason Kidd was a horrible shooter coming out of college, out of Cal. He got better, and he's one of the better three-point shooters of all time. He made himself a shooter. Wessel Westbrook hasn't done it. That's my problem. When you have Kemba Walker guarding Hashimura, they said, I don't care whatever he does, he can score whatever point. Russell Westbrook is not scoring against us. They put Tatum on him, and he couldn't figure it out. And for one game, that was it. One game, you can't figure it out, you're done. So it was great coaching, but Russell, you got to – off-season, shoot the ball. And please, that's the only thing stopping you is your shot. That's it. It's all that's stopping him. Eric, I don't know if you have an opinion on what you saw last night in this game, but TP, to your point, flowers for Tatum. That kid is unbelievable. He's coming. He is coming, and that kid can play. But, Eric, I'd love to get your opinion on last night's game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and Timeless can attest to this. You know, it's always been meet for Russell Westbrook. And great players adapt. If this guy would know how to shoot the ball and was a great shooter, then he would be at a level of all-time greatness. But he hasn't adapted to that, and Boston completely shut him down, and it showed yesterday. And with the Bradley Beal being injured and them not getting help from anybody else, I mean, Ish Smith gets 17 points, but the rest of the team was lackluster, they couldn't do anything. The Boston Celtics played great defense. Brad Stevens gets a lot of, flack around here in the kitchen, but this guy had a good game plan. They shut down Russell Westbrook, and they end up winning. If Jaylen Brown was playing, this team would be dangerous. I would be worried if I was the Brooklyn Nets, but they're still going to have to contain Jason Tatum. They still have a pretty good supporting cast, a lot of good role players that can do some damage, so it definitely isn't going to be a walk in the park. But, yeah, the Boston Celtics came out, had a game plan, and executed and came out on top.
The only thing that bothers me about the Celtics, and TP, I definitely want to get your opinion, is where was this all year? Despite the fact they didn't have Jaylen Brown, this team with their big three, quote unquote, is too good to be a 500 basketball team. I'm sorry. Where was this all year? It boggles my mind. And, you know, Stevens gets credit for, you know, game planning to last night to take, you know, Westbrook and Beal out of the game and move on and all. But where was this urgency all year? I didn't see it, TP. Like, this is the Boston team that I thought we were going to get all year that was, you know, three out of the last 4 years went to the conference finals. Not this year. They were so up and down, it was ridiculous. I mean, TP, are you surprised at how well Boston plays? Or are you, like, shaking your head like me? Like, why didn't they play like this all year long?
Oh, it is coaching. It is coaching, without a doubt. I think Steven saved it. Well, those players saved him in this go-round. But I feel like if they're early exit, they got to look at him. He can't just sit there and hold that spot and them not be successful. Because look at it, he's dealing with injury right now, which is kind of being fair where they give him this season. But he went from watching a Tatum and an IT get to an Eastern Conference final and play LeBron to a game seven, and they haven't been that far or that close since, what, last year in a bubble, and they're falling downwards?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't get it. Like, they're up and down. Like, there's no consistency there. So I'm wondering what they do with him. It's basically the two-headed monster in Danny Ainge and also Brad Stevens, both of these guys being questionable at least. But I feel like Danny Ainge is a darling out there in Boston, so that's why they won't really kind of come after him. But Stevens is more that college guy, and that's why it's been a free-for-all for these guys because they feel like they're grown or more adapt to be better than what he's presenting. And a lot of these teams are taking advantage of it. But you got a college show going on in D.C. with Scotty Brooks, who's just as bad as a coach. So he was actually successful in knocking him off in that one game play-in situation. So Stevens is going to have to go out there and show out that he can compete, especially with the higher-ups in the Eastern Conference. But I doubt that they are able to handle a potential Brooklyn or I think they fall into Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see how that
yeah.
works. But I don't feel like that's a strong situation for them.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna get Brooklyn in the first round, and you know, I agree with you. It is coaching, but I'm looking at the talent on this roster, and Eric, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but they don't have the talent that they've had in the last couple of years. I mean, you look at the guys that they're running out on the off the bench; it doesn't compare with the teams that they got. I can't give Danny Ainge credit for drafting Tatum because Tatum fell to him. The Sixers, if they had picked Tatum over Fultz, that team is going to the finals every year with Simmons, Embiid, and Tatum. You put those three on a team together, there's nobody that's stopping them. Nobody. So I'm not giving Ainge credit for that draft, even though he did draft them. But I'm looking at Ainge, like, look at the guys that you lost and that you're bringing in. You lost Hayward. You lost Rozier that came off the bench. I mean, now look at the guys that are running off the bench behind, like, Marcus Smart. It's not the same level of talent off the bench. I mean, Eric, I mean, do you agree, disagree that, you know, Ainge should get some of the blame along with Stevens?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that all year for sure without a question. And Danny Ainge, too, I think his time's up there, too. If you look, you got guys like Robert Williams, who he drafted, was supposed to be, you know, he was banking on him, turning out to be something good. They didn't get that. And like you just mentioned, if it wasn't for the Sixers making that bad pick, they would have never had Tatum. So it just fell to him. And the Celtics are getting worse and worse by the year. They were able to land Kemba Walker, but other than that, Danny Ainge hasn't made any big splashes. So he hasn't made this team better since they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think the Celtics definitely need to look at their front office and their coaching staff and build, because now they got Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two emerging superstars. They can build a winner around those guys, but Danny Ainge has proven he can't do it. So he's been there long enough, and like Timeless said, he's kind of a darling because, well, you know, a Celtic legend playing days there. I wouldn't say legend. I'm going to backpedal on that. He was, you know, won a few championships with him, but he was on that team. So he gets the credit kind of like the Lakers and Kurt Rambis. You know, he's hanging around in their front office just for the nostalgia effect in my eyes. So, but, yeah, if they want to win, they're going to have to do something because it'll be a complete waste of talent. They can build a really good team. The Eastern Conference is getting really competitive, and it's good to see because we haven't seen that in years. You've seen the Western Conference just dominate, and now they're starting to get some good teams over on the East. So with that being said, unfortunately, they are going to be an early knockout. I don't think they could beat the Nets without Jaylen Brown in a seven-game series. Now, if Jaylen Brown was there, the Celtics would have a fighting chance, but they're going to be first-round knockout. So definitely time to look at the coaching staff and the front office.
Yeah, I mean, you know, time will tell, but, you know, I'll definitely get to that matchup pretty soon. But, yeah, I just can't, you know, listen, Ainge gets credit for trading the pick to the Sixers, and the Sixers get credit for being dumb enough to take the deal to get folks with the number one pick, with all the talent that was in that draft. I think that was Ball, Tatum, Fox, Dennis Smith Jr., and Donovan Mitchell. I think your boy was in that draft, TP. So, I mean, there's a lot of better players that they could have had that would have gave them a real big three. So, oh well. But, you know, moving on to tonight's games, you know, happening right now, the end of the third quarter, Memphis is up by 7 against the Spurs. So that's, you know, the first play-in. The winner of that game will go on to the next play-in on Friday night to face the loser of the second game tonight of the Warriors and the Lakers. So right now, Memphis, like I said, they're up 72-65 against the San Antonio Spurs. Ja Morant looks like he's found his shot. He's got 15 points and 6 rebounds, looking pretty good. You know, the Spurs are struggling. The score looks, you know, to me, I've been kind of watching the game while we've been talking, but, you know, Memphis has led throughout. Spurs really, you know, don't have as much firepower. I don't know if you guys have been watching, TP. I don't know if you've been kind of eyeballing this game while we've been chatting. You know, the Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies, what do you got?
JoVal is killing them. I repeat, yes. Jonas Valanciunas is going off. In the first half, he had a total of 16 points and 11 rebounds at one point. I really feel like this is the last game. If the Spurs lose, Greg Popovich will retire. I've been saying this since February. Pop will end up retiring. They are really so gung-ho on giving Becky Hammon the job to be the first female head coach in NBA history. I'd rather see Tim Duncan there, but I think she's been in front of that system coaching-wise and more, I guess, used to it coaching instead of playing it, because I think Tim knows more about it because he played in it. I think they want to see Becky Hammon try to do something with it. But with Memphis playing with their hair on fire and young guns trying to mess up what's going on in San Antonio, that would be a great lift for their future to know that they're building off of beating a team that's being led by Coach Popovich, who's having his issues with the lineup, and they've been in total disarray. I don't believe in the Spurs to advance, or if they do advance, I feel like they're a one and done. I don't think they go far into the postseason. I'd rather see the Grizzlies play with their hair on fire and play in the likes of whoever comes out of that game, whether it's Golden State or the Lakers. makes it an interesting matchup if he goes up being John Morant going up against Steph, or watching LeBron go up against Dillon Brooks after the beat that they've had. So that would be a very interesting matchup to see if Dillon Brooks could actually withstand the storm and going up against a LeBron James-led Laker team who's dealing with a ton of injuries across the board, and the Lakers don't really have a true identity. So looking at what the Spurs are up to right now, they're going to have to overcome this hill being down seven going into the fourth, especially being in the midst of Memphis. I think this is uphill dealing with the grindhouse out there in Memphis. So welcome to Tennessee.
Yeah, Jay Valanciunas, 21-20. Oh, that's a monster
disgusting
game right now.
That's disgusting.
It's a monster game. That's a monster game. And a typical DeMar DeRozan game, 3-16 shooting. Typical game from him in the playoffs, just disappears. That's why they traded him out of Toronto for Kawhi Leonard, and then subsequently chip in the bucket. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a great building block for Memphis to win this game. To, you know, even if they just get another game in the playoffs, you know, John Morant getting that exposure in a little playoff basketball. You know, I don't expect the winner or loser of this game, the winner of this game to win on Friday against either the Lakers or the Warriors, but you know, it's another game for them. It's a building block to your point. And I love the Becky Hammon if she comes in and is the coach. I think she can coach. I like what I see from her. You know, she's coached a couple games here and there where Papa kind of takes a little break. They're grooming her. I think she is ready. I think she is the logical choice. And I think it's time. I really do think it's time for a female coach. I mean, the only female coach I know of is Whoopi Goldberg in that silly movie years ago. So I'm all for it, man. I think she's the right candidate, not just because she's a female, but she knows basketball. But Eric, let me get your opinion on everything TP kind of threw out there with Pop possibly being his last game. That would be a shame. Great, one of the great coaches. We talked about him on Sunday. Spurs just not really getting it done. Virginia's just killing them. You know, anything you want to throw out there, bro?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's the end of the road here for the Spurs. You know, Pop, potentially his last game, and the Spurs are going to completely have to rebuild. They've been on a high since Pop's got there, essentially. The Spurs have competed year in and year out. He's always put a competitive team out there. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue that after he retires. And like I said, they're going to have to do a complete rebuild. So yeah, DeMarcus Rosen, his time's coming too. I mean, he's not getting any better. He's getting worse. And, so Becky Hammon, that'd definitely be a good choice just to get a female in there. But I kind of like what Timeless threw out there. Tim Duncan, I'd like to see him out there coaching. That would also be a good option too if they're considering that, or if he's talked about that. I would really like to see that too. I think he'd have a lot to offer, being a former player and being in that system for so long. But yeah, Memphis, they're an up-and-coming team. John Morant is a superstar in training right now. This would be a huge boost for him and the Memphis Grizzlies moving forward. So I think they'll build off that, and they'll be a competitive team next year as well. But like everybody said, they're not going to go far in the playoffs. So even if they have a tough chance. They got to win this game and the next game. So I don't see that happening if they go up against the Lakers or the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I like seeing Ja Morant getting another game. He's just got to get more confidence in that shot, a la, what we kind of alluded to with Westbrook. I mean, I think he's got to believe that he can hit those outside shots. And when he does that, the sky's the limit for him, because he's a freak athletically. He's a good kid, plays hard, and really has kind of turned the fortunes around for that Memphis Grizzlies team. It's weird that, the first three picks of that draft, last year's draft, everybody thought, RJ was going to be kind of a bust after last year. Ja Morant, he was good, but, it was really about Zion. Those two kids are in the playoffs, and Zion's not, so kind of ironic. But Tim was on the staff Tim Duncan was on the staff a year ago, and he walked away. So I don't know if he's still – if he's open to coaching. I don't know what his schedule or what he's kind of feeling, but I think he would be a great choice. But I think Becky Hammond, I really like her. I really think she's the right pick. So we'll see. But, you know, I agree with you guys. I don't see the Spurs or the Grizzlies if they win this game, which is closer now. They're up by four. I don't see them, either of them, coming into a Friday game with the Lakers or with the Warriors. And I think it would be on the road, taking them out. I just don't see that happening. So, but let's talk about the game at, you know, that's coming up after this game. This is probably the marquee matchup of the play-in tournament, LeBron versus Steph Curry. We got that on tap at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Got to be respectful because I know Eric's on the West, y'all. You know, so listen, we got Steph Curry, we got LeBron, we got AD, we got Draymond Green, we got the Warriors, we got the Lakers. We'll handicap it. But I'm going to bring a caller in queue. Coming to the party, looking for a plate. Looking to eat from the 703. You got your boy Sirius in the building. Sirius, what's going on, brother?
You know what, gentlemen? I'm tardy to the party, but duty called, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys, man. Let's work.
Yeah, we've been working. We working, man. Where you at, man? Yeah, you coming here trying to slap the plate out of my hand, trying to get all the talking about what's work. We've been working. Cool.
My bad. Hey, here's the deal, you know what I'm saying? Your man wants a piece of chicken, man. I'm hungry.
Well, I mean, we've been throwing out a lot here. So, I mean, we talked about last night's games and then the game going on. I don't know if you want to just kind of give us a soliloquy, give us your thoughts on the last night's two games, Celtics-Wiz, Pacers,
yeah.
Hornets.
Yeah.
We kind of threw it hard. But let me know what you got, and then you can talk about tonight's game as well.
I'm not going to sit there and waste too much time on it. You know what I'm saying? Last night's games were boring. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, for me, the Hornets looked like they were outclassed. They didn't show up. I mean, the Pacers jumped on them early. I'm sure you guys went over stats and storylines for that. And the Washington Wizards, unfortunately, ran into a buzzsaw named Jason Tatum. You get 22 from Mr. Westbrook, 23 from Bradley Beal, and pretty much nobody else really did too much of anything. They didn't have an answer for him. Unfortunately, both games were boring. I'm getting home in enough time to talk to you guys and watch this Lakers-Warriors game because, honestly, I think that's going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be fun, and that's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's get to it. I mean, I'll kick it right to you, Eric. Since I'm not going to save you for last. This is your boys. This is your team. I will let you lead off. Lakers, Warriors, what do you got? What are the keys to the game, brother?
Well, if the Lakers are firing on all cylinders, this should be, you know, I'm not saying an easy win, but the Lakers should win this game, no problem. On the other hand, if, you know, there's some nagging injuries still with Anthony Davis and LeBron James and they're not out there playing 100%, that's going to be a problem too. They got to contain Steph Curry. That's without a shadow of a doubt. I think they contain him, they win this game. The only thing that concerns me is, like Timeless brought up earlier, and what we've all talked about the whole year, the Lakers, they do not have a true identity. They brought in Andre Drummond, a huge addition, but they have not been able to get Vogel, hasn't been able to get these guys to gel and find out a chemistry. So they're still learning that, and that's a problem come playoff time. They're going to play a team like the Phoenix Suns, who's one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now, best all-around teams. And even with LeBron and AD out there, I feel, as a fan and how watching the Lakers all year, I feel that that's going to be a problem in a seven-game series. That's not going to be a walk in the park for them. The talent the Lakers have, there's no reason why, you know, we were talking to people at the beginning of the year, and you know, I wasn't on this bandwagon, but there was a lot of people talking that, oh, the Lakers with this team, they, you know, can push the try to get at the Bulls record. I was like, no, 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 absolutely not. They got rid of Dwight Howard and McGee. That's a huge piece that they lost, both of those guys. So I was like, no, just bringing in Marc Gasol and Harrell is not going to propel them to that kind of level. But I was in agreement that, yeah, they maybe lose 15 games, you know, the whole year, which in actuality on paper – that's how it should have went, you know, bringing in Schroeder too. But he has not been able to get these guys to be on the same page. He's constantly flip-flopping the starting lineups, playing with lineups the whole year. You got to get consistency out there. You got to know what you're doing. Okay, these are my starters. These are my bench guys. And he's constantly rotating the bench out, trying the bench, rotating the starters out. And that's not going to work. You know, bringing in McLemore is huge, too, I think. So the Lakers have the talent. It's just being able to put that together and being able to perform on the court. And that's not what's happening. So, you know, as a Laker fan, I'm definitely I'm concerned about it because, like I said, they have to transition this on the court. We don't play on paper. This is why we play the game. And the way the Lakers are playing, it's going to be shaky going up against the Phoenix Suns. So I'm not too concerned about this game tonight. Like I said, I think the Lakers should go out and handle business. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. It doesn't matter how hot Golden State is or Steph Curry. The Lakers are a far better team than them. But again, that's on paper. We got to transition that into the game. So but with that being said, that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lakers, you know, Fogle does have the number one defense in the league, and defense does travel. So they do have that going for them. But the offense is sputtered. Without LeBron kind of running the offense, because he's essentially the offensive coordinator, the offense struggles without him on the court. So getting him back and hopefully at 100%, I know that they said he tweaked his ankle at the end of the regular season game, but – the last regular season game, but, you know, he should be, you know, as good as he's going to be and ready to go against Steph Curry. I mean, they're not going to let Steph Curry beat him. So, I mean, we already know that. They're one of the best defensive, not the best defensive team in the league. So, I mean, serious. I mean, what's the X factor in this game tonight with the Lakers and the Warriors? Like, for each team, who's got to perform for each team to really get that win in this play-in game?
You know, honestly, man, it needs to be a couple of people. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, Steph and LeBron are going to garner a lot of attention from a lot of people. Obviously, AD, you know, Wiggins. But who is going to be that third guy? You know, is it going to be Dennis Schroeder? Is Schroeder going to come in there and give you, you know, 15 to 25 points? Is that bench for both teams going to be able to sustain and you know, either create distance or bring a team closer? I mean, one of the biggest things that, you know, Steve Kerr has always had at his disposal when he was going on these runs or whatever the case may be was a deep bench. He would always, you know, go and get Livingston or Barbosa or Iguodala or whomever coming off the bench. And, you know, obviously, you know, these guys have retired and moved on. So who's going to really come off his bench, right? And here's the thing. You know, I said this when we was talking about football. You know what I'm saying? This is playoff time. You know, the lights are on bright. You know what I'm saying? Who blinks? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that. You know, again, Steph and LeBron have been there, done that, got the hardware to prove it. AD, you know, finally had a taste of it last year. But, again, the bench of the Golden State Warriors is significantly young. And you are asking them to go on the road in a play-in tournament and you know, kind of take off, you know, the LeBron James and the defending champion. You know, are you going to hold water? You know, saying so. I think both coaches are, you know, are going to have to, you know, keep these guys engaged. I think both coaches are going to have to understand that, you know, they're going to be runs. And Steph starts hitting a couple threes, you know what I'm saying? Don't the rope, you know what I'm saying? Do not let go of the rope. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think it's going to be Dennis Schroeder, you know, or Draymond Green. Is Draymond Green going to be a guy who, you know, is able to contribute in all facets, or is he going to let a call get the best of him and ultimately take him out of the game? You know what I'm saying? Is his head going to be part of the problem? So there's a lot of X factors, but those are my main ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis Schroeder, I mean, if this guy thinks he's a $100 million man, he better play like it in these playoffs for damn sure. I haven't seen anything to say that I would pay him. I hear the Knicks are going to go after him. If they pay this guy $100 million, please, you know, I'll get on the court for a buck, all right? With my broke leg, everything, you know what I'm saying, for a buck. PP, I mean, what are your handicap for this game? Like, you know, we know LeBron and Curry have to be, you know, spectacular, but who else outside of them needs to have a big game for their respective team to move on?
I'm more or less worried about the Warriors side of the ball because Steph is a given the way that he's been playing in the last 15 to 20 games. He's on a torrid tear right now, putting up these 30-point games at an alarming clip, shooting the ball outrageously. They need a guy like Wiggins to step up or the others to come into this situation. Now is the time for Wiggins to prove that he was a number one pick overall. This is a situation where everybody's more like, oh, he doesn't play well when he's in front of LeBron. The Warriors don't play well in the Staples Center. They need to step up right now while LeBron just tweaked his ankle for the third time in a month and a half or 2 month span, and Anthony Davis still looks questionable. And his Lakers team does not have any identity, and Vogel still can be outcoached. Yes, he can be, because Steve Kerr has championship experience, not only as a coach and as a player. So this can be an upset that can happen in the middle of the Staples Center. So they're going to need the others to step up. Steph in Vegas right now, the over-under for his point total is 36.5. That means Vegas thinks that Steph is going to bring it. So somebody else has to help him. Somebody has to at least get 13 points or better to help the Warriors bring this back to the Bay. And I would be stunned to see if the Lakers do fall short, but I think it can happen. The potential is there for them to actually get their head busted. So everybody watch out because it's here, and the Lakers are somewhat injured. If I was Golden State, whoever it was that LeBron was being, I'm running with my left hand as much as possible, because I'm putting pressure on that right ankle as much as possible. I'm going to make LeBron prove that he has to give me 40 to 48 minutes of solid pressure on that bad ankle. I'm going at Anthony Davis as much as possible to make me prove that he could keep getting off the ground with a bad or bum leg right now. These are the situations that the Warriors have to address and keep setting a high screen up there for Steph so Steph can continue to cook. That's the same way I'm looking at this game. The lights are on, and in the words of T.O., get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Curry's going to do his thing. We all know that. But, and you know what the Lakers are going to do. They're going to trap him. They're going to get the ball out of his hand. And to your point, Wiggins, he's got to step up. Wiggins or Oubre or both need to step up. But I think the X factor for me, honestly, is Draymond Green. Can he run the offense? You know, AD's not no slouch defender. He's going to lock him up. Can Green control the offense for the Warriors to get, you know, Wiggins and Oubre easier shots and get the offense? Because he does lead the team. I think he's top five in assists in the league. And that's not by accident because he's the point forward. He's not like a traditional point forward like LeBron or we've seen Scottie Pippen or like, you know, Kevin Garnett, like a guy that can really handle the ball. I don't look at him like a supreme ball handler. But he does facilitate the offense. The offense runs through him. He makes the right pass. He makes smart passes. Can he do that? Can he run the offense And you know, because they're going to get the ball out of Curry's hands. They're not going to let Curry beat them. Like, to your point, Vegas thinks he's going to score over 36. LeBron's probably going to say, no, he ain't. I'm going to stop him. You know, they're going to flash maybe Schroeder or somebody on him, and then when it gets later in the game, if it's tight, LeBron, if he's good, they're going to put him on him, the big physical guy that's going to force Curry to get rid of the ball. Can Green get the offense going to get everybody else involved? And on the other side, who's going to help the big two? Is it Draymond? Is it Drummond? I mean, is it Schroeder, or is it who's going to do it? Morris? Anybody? With LeBron out there, he makes the offense a lot easier. He runs the offense. He facilitates the offense just like Green does for the Warriors. So now it's going to be a question of who's going to be there to hit those shots. Schroeder, like I said, you want $100 million? You better play like you want $100 million. You better hit some shots. You better come ready to ball. So, listen, I agree with you guys. Every point you made, it's going to be a great game. I hope it is. I hope it's not a blowout either way. I feel in my gut it's going to be a close game. I think the Lakers will probably pull it out and get into that seven seed, and the Warriors will be playing on Friday night. That's just my opinion. I mean, if anybody else has anything to throw out on this game, big game tonight, Warriors and Lakers.
Well, see, here's the thing, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we all are saying the exact same thing, but, I mean, this man is the NBA scoring champion. You know, I'm talking about Steph Curry. So what we're saying, you know, these coaches and, you know, they already know that, and they still struggled this year to stop that. You know, ESPN, you know, did a piece about how much this dude moves in a game. So even if they jump the initial game plan, he's going to relocate and go to plan B and plan C. And, you know, so, literally for 48 minutes or whatever, however long it takes, this dude is in motion. It's going to be interesting to see how the Los Angeles Lakers defend him, especially, I know LeBron James is going to accept the challenge, you know, try to guard him, but he's dealing with a bum wheel himself. You know, Dennis Schroeder ain't no slouch, but don't get it twisted. It's going to be a game and a half. But on the flip side, you know what I'm saying, I'm not sure why is this plan, and if he is, he really can't bang on nobody. He is small fry. You know, I mean, the Lakers got him up top, you know what I'm saying? Lakers got him, you know, on the post. I mean, they got, you know, 3 7-footers they can throw at him almost. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and we didn't even mention Montrezl Harrell, who was the rookie sixth man of the year last year, who in his own right, you know, can drop, you know, 15 to 20 some odd and grab a couple boards and alter some shots. You know what I'm saying? So when E was talking, he was talking about chemistry. He was talking about, you know, not having, you know, Vogel mess with the lineup. A lot of that, in my opinion, he had a lot to do with who was available to him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if LeBron James and AD and Schroeder were healthier down the stretch, I'm not too sure the lineup would have been shuffled. Keep in mind, when all these guys were healthy, they were sitting at the 2 seed. You know, they were sitting in the top 3. You know, so I don't think Vogel is just trying to shuffle the deck because he wants to hear, you know, he wants to shuffle the deck. I think circumstances caused to do that, but I did say this. Because of that, you know, there are role players and there are players that got significant minutes down the stretch that are going to pay dividends in these type of moments because they understand the flow of their offense. They understand where they're comfortable at. They're not having to be caught on the play big-time minutes, so they're playing in spurts, so they're fresher. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least, but I'm expecting Lakers to win this ball game. You know, I haven't checked out Vegas to see what the line is, but I think when it's all said and done, the Lakers win by at least 10.
Yeah, I agree with you, Darius. And Steph Curry, he's going to get his points. That's not even a question. The Golden State Warriors as a team are going to have to step up. Obrey is going to have to get some. Wiggins is going to have to get some. Draymond Green, and they need help from a few other role players. So they're going to need a total team effort to take down the Lakers in Los Angeles.
Yeah, absolutely. TP, anything to add, brother?
I really feel different. I really feel like if they can't get Schroeder, Matthews, or KCP to slow step down, the Lakers are in trouble. The spread is 4 for a reason. It'd be easy to go into Vegas and put money on the Lakers with a 4-point spread. And it's easy to go with LeBron. But this dude is injured. He's tweaked that ankle twice in about 2 weeks. 3 times in about a month and a half. That is something that they are considering, especially if it does get tweaked. Listen, it's easy for that to be an answer. But we will see. 36.5 is high. It'd be easy to go in there and say they're under on Steph. So I think Vegas is planning on a big day out of Steph, too. So be careful what you ask for.
I mean,
yeah, so,
I'm just saying,
Steph Curry could score 50 points for all he wants, but if he's not getting help, it don't matter how many points he scores. He's going to go off regardless. So they need a team effort. It doesn't matter what Steph does if he doesn't have a supporting cast around him.
Yeah, but if LeBron's not giving you that point total or Anthony Davis isn't giving you that point total, you're looking at a Wes Matthews that has not scored the ball well. KCP, people in L.A. are begging for him to leave. I've been in Laker rooms in different situations, in different conversations. They want him to leave. Who is the additional players that are going to step up on the Lakers' side of the ball? These guys have been trading wins and losses all the last month and a half or so. So for you guys to continue to point fingers at what the Warriors are doing, you guys are on the same railroad track about to have a collision course. So, yeah, it could be AD and LeBron. What about your others? Like, look in the mirror, or better yet, clean that backyard before you start throwing rocks at somebody else, Chris.
No, I did, Timeless, and that's why when you heard me lead off, I was concerned about that, their consistency, because they do need these guys to step up. And Wesley Matthews has been non-existent all year long. So if they're not getting performance out of Harrell, Schroeder, I'd even look for McLemore to get into the mix today. He's been really good since coming over to the Lakers. Andre Drummond needs to get more involved. They do not have an identity, and that does legitimately concern me. Of course the Warriors can go in and win this game. Absolutely. No problem. But if all things are firing for the Lakers, it's going to be a loss. And Steph Curry definitely needs Wiggins to have a big game, Danny Obrey to have a big game, Draymond Green to have a big game, getting some rebounds, playing some defense, facilitating. They need to be firing on all cylinders as well. It doesn't ride on Steph Curry. It needs to be the whole team.
Right. And so on to the Lakers as well. It just can't be, let's point the fingers at Steph. Like, Steph has been playing so good in this last month and a half that they're saying that he's in contention for the MVP. LeBron James will come out and say he should be the MVP. And if they're talking about KCP has not shot the ball well lately, Wes Matthews has not shot the ball well lately, if you look at Ben McLemore's numbers lately, he has not shot the ball well lately. Listen, this is continual, especially while Schroeder's trying to find his consistency. They have no chemistry on the Lakers. But listen, I will let you continue to push that agenda if you want. Do not be stunned if they come into Staples and put guns to you guys.
I definitely won't. I won't be stunned. It'll be more shaking my head that they allowed this to happen, because on paper they're great. They haven't been able to transform that into playing. They have not been able to play on paper or put their talent that is on paper and transition that into the game. They just haven't done that. So, and it is a concern.
And I think that's a problem on the offensive end, Eric.
Yeah,
I think that's
absolutely.
What TP is kind of highlighting. I think the fact that LeBron hasn't been there, the offense has kind of sputtered. And to TP's point, you know, now LeBron's back, but is he 100%? You know, well, how much of the load is he going to have to carry on the offense to get them into the offense? Not just scoring, but, you know, facilitating, running the offense, getting people in the right spot. So that's going to be a really big key. Sirius, did you have something to add, bro?
Sorry about that. Yo, so my whole point was that, you know, I think, you know, he said it pretty plainly. Like, Steph Curry is going to do what Steph Curry is going to do. At the end of the day, like, he's going to do him. But you know, what's around him, you know, has to be contained. And, you know, you can't have, you know, Steph, you know, going for 40 and you get, you know, Draymond Green going for triple dubs with, you know, 15 points, 17 assists and, you know, 15 yeah. rebounds and Oubre or, you know, coming off and giving you, you know, 10 to 15 and, you know, Wiggins chipping in with 20. I mean, you have to limit, you know, what the role players do, which is why the question that you posed to me the first time makes so much sense and it's so important. Like, who has to break through that? Who has to step up? Who has to have a decent game? Like, again, the stars are going to do what the stars are going to do. That's what makes them stars. But at the end of the day, who around them, you know, is going to, you know, get better. So when TP said, you know, the line in Vegas is for Steph to have 36 and a hook, you know, he's going to have to get more than that, in my opinion, or some significant help for the Lakers to lose this game.
And I'm surprised that the line, TP, that you saw it at 4, because I saw it at 5.5 earlier today. So for the line to move that much from 5.5 to 4, something's up. Vegas don't make mistakes, right? So
Vegas knows we'll something. Definitely... Believe me. But, okay. Keep playing.
Vegas
keep
don't
playing.
Make mistakes.
I was just out there twice in 4 weeks. Believe me. Keep playing. Keep playing.
Exactly. So we got under about 25 minutes left in the show. Great show so far, boys. You know, kind of moving ahead a little bit, but so we'll stay in the West. We'll stay with the West. The two matchups, really quickly, I just want to kind of get your guys' feedback on the Mavs and the Clippers that are coming up, and then the Blazers and the Nuggets, another good series out there. But really quickly, the talk of the town is the Clippers, and they're kind of quote-unquote lack of – do I want to say tanking, or do I just want to be nice about it and say how they had the load management and conveniently got to the 4 seed? I mean, TP, I'll come right to you. Clippers, been accused of tanking to avoid the Lakers in the first round, and Tyronn Lue responded and said, I don't give a damn. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do. What's your opinion on it really quickly? Did the Clippers tank, or are they trying to rest up?
I think it is a situation that they did tank. I could care less on what they're addressing with the media. I don't think they want to run into a situation where if they are avoiding the Lakers that they have that matchup happen now. I think they want to build their chemistry and, like, build it up to a second round or a conference final if that situation is there. They've already got bumped last year with all of the question marks there. But as much money that they threw to Paul George, they should be ready. For Kawhi Leonard to threaten and say if they don't get to a Western Conference final that he's out, they should be ready. There should be no reason on why they should be scared to play anybody in the Western Conference. The Clippers should be ready. They are dynamic enough, especially with the coaching staff that they have right now, and especially getting rid of Doc Rivers and bringing Tyronn Lue in there. Like, this is interesting that they did that, but I think they're trying to save themselves. But they better be careful because Luka can make this interesting. They had a difficult time trying to defend him. And also, we're seeing a healthy Porzingis. So hopefully Porzingis will give them a full 7 games to make this an interesting series. But I still favor the Clippers to get past Dallas. But I do think that they did dodge the bullet because I really don't think that they wanted Kawhi and LeBron to go at it now. I think they wanted to heighten everything and make this a true battle of L.A. when everything's on the line.
Listen, I have my opinion too, and I'm pretty much in lockstep. Eric, Big E, I'll come to you. Did the Clippers tank to avoid the Lakers? Is that something that insiders have accused them of, sports writers, et cetera? Do you think they tanked, or were they resting, and where do you see their matchup with the Mavs?
Well, put it this way, the Clippers are always going to be in the shadow of the Lakers. Of course they're going to be scared to go up against the Lakers. They'll never be the team in L.A. Kawhi, when he came, they were all talking. It's like, yeah, sit down, sit down. This is and always will be Laker country. They're so overwhelming, it's not even funny. There's a handful of Clipper fans, and everybody in Southern California, from Diego to Bakersfield, are Lakers. So, you know, they'll never have that spotlight, and of course they tank. That's what the Clippers do. I would almost go out on a limb and say that this team is cursed. Donald Sterling, the way he was and the way the type of person he is, they got some bad juju on that team, man. The Clippers 5 years ago, before they got Kawhi and all this hype came, they were voted the worst franchise in professional sports. The worst franchise in professional sports. So that shows you something. If I'm the Clippers, I'm worried. The Dallas Mavericks could easily beat them in a seven-game series. We saw what happened last year in the bubble. The Mavericks almost pulled it off without Porzingis, and now they got him back. The whole team's healthy. They got a good supporting cast. They're well-coached, and they play great together. The Dallas Mavericks started off slow this year. We were talking, and you know, kind of, is this the end of the road for the Mavericks, and what do they need to do? And they shut a lot of people up. They came and they stepped up and they played and got to the playoffs convincingly. And if I'm the Clippers, I'm worried. This is a hungry Dallas Mavericks team. Luka Doncic, one of the top five players in all of the NBA right now. And they're not going to be able to contain him. Kawhi Leonard, his game's kind of slipped a little bit. Since he's got to L.A., in my opinion, sometimes when players do like he did, they get these big egos in the big head, and then it starts affecting their game because they're not putting that into the game. They're just relying on their status. So, and that's kind of where I see Kawhi Leonard. And for him, he's going to be out of here if they don't win the Western Conference. That just shows the type of player and person Kawhi Leonard is in my eyes. So, this was a guy that a few years ago was like, this guy is one of the, you know, arguably, they would throw it out there, one of the best players in the NBA. And there's a handful of guys that I put way above him now, especially since the emergence of some of these other guys this year. I put Dame Dollar in front of him all day. I'd rather have him. So it's just the way it is, and unfortunate for the Clippers, it's the way it is. They're going to choke in the playoffs one way or another. I don't see them being able to beat Phoenix in a seven-game series, Utah, the Lakers if they're healthy, and they run a risk of losing to the Dallas Mavericks. So they shouldn't be a favorite with all these other teams in the West. Like, the Suns should be ahead of them for sure, Utah, the Lakers, the Clippers. These Western teams like Dallas could stun them. So, you know, it's going to be tough for the Clippers. They're going to have to battle. They're going to have to gel. And, you know, I'm a betting man. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Dallas is going to win this series. They'll win this series in seven games or six games. So I think Dallas should be the favorite the way they're playing. They're extremely hungry right now, and they're consistent. The Clippers haven't proved that they're consistent. So it's time to step up for them. The light's on, and they're in the spotlight, and they're going to have to perform and prove to everybody in the basketball world that this team is a legitimate contender.
Yeah, I mean, that's a mouthful. Serious, I mean, do you agree with Eric and TB? Did they tank to avoid the Lakers, or are they, you know, resting up to get into the playoffs and get into a good situation where the team is healthy? I mean, this team hasn't been completely healthy, either load management or, you know, injuries to Ibaka or whoever all year. Yeah. What do you think? What did the Clippers do?
I think it's a combo of both, to be honest with you. I mean, it's very, very easy to see, you know, what E is talking about and what TP is talking about. And I mean, I can't knock them for that, but I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, I do believe that, you know, we've all played this game before. You know what I'm saying? And if you you know, if you wanted to avoid, you know, doing some things, but not necessarily saying avoid it, then so be it. But you also understand that, you know, you got, you know, PG-13 and Kawhi, who, you know, he's coming off of injuries, and Ibaka's a little bit banged up, and you got a couple other things that are kind of working against you, not to mention Easy's curse that I honestly agree with, sort of speak, you know. So, I mean, did they kind of avoid the Lakers in the first round? But to Easy's point, you know, the Dallas Mavericks are no slouch. You know what I'm saying? This is a team that literally had to fight and claw to get to where they're at. They got great chemistry, like Easy alluded to. Luka, who, you know, in some circles is an MVP candidate. You got, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. You got that unicorn guy playing some decent ball. So I mean, they got some ball players out there in Dallas that can really, you know, strike some fear, so to speak, into the hearts of the Dallas Mavericks. Keep in mind, this is a Dallas Mavericks team that met up with this Clippers team a season ago. And if it wasn't for a Porzingis injury and a Luka injury, could have very easily knocked them out the bubble. So I'm not too sure if, you know, they picked the right opponent. But with that being said, I do think it was, you know, kind of a combo of both, leaning more towards, you know what I'm saying, let's go ahead and play the Dallas Mavericks a little bit and not, you know, the Lakers in round one. Let's get them later.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a coincidence that they rested the last two games and they happened to avoid the Lakers. But I mean, I don't think they actively avoided the Lakers, but I do feel there is a little bit of tanking involved. Just because they were, you know, they're not a four seed. They're a three. They could have been a two if they had played better all year. But I don't know if they did it to avoid the Lakers, but I definitely think that they didn't play the way they should have played. You look at some of the plays they ran in, like, especially the game against the Rockets, and then, you know, the last game. I think, who was the last game they played? The Thunder. I mean, the sets that they were running was just like, you know, let's just throw it against the wall and see what sticks. You know what I mean? It was just kind of ridiculous what we saw. So that's why the tanking comes up. And I can't disagree with you guys, with Sirius and Timeless and Eric, what you're saying. But the Clippers, they got to show and prove. They got a lot to prove, to your point. Even though they beat the Mavericks in six in the first round last year in the bubble, this is a better Mavericks team. I think hopefully Porzingis is healthy. Well, hopefully for them, not for – I mean, you know, I'm the villain. I really don't care much about Porzingis. I hope he doesn't play. But, I mean, you know, in general, honestly, really want Porzingis to be out there because that's them at full strength and that's the series that we deserve. So, you know, honestly, he's got to be that guy. He's got to play for them to have a chance in this series against the Clippers because they look like they're healthy and they got everybody ready to go. They better have everybody ready to go after that performance in the last two games. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, the other series with the Blazers and the Blazers and the Nuggets. I mean, two MVP candidates in that game, Dame Dollar and the Joker, TP. I mean, what do you think about this series out west with the Nuggets and the Blazers?
It's tough for me to say Denver to win this, even though it's favoring Denver. But I just don't see the Blazers doing it with just Dame, CJ, and my cousin Norman. Like it's tough because they can't get anybody out of their front court to do much. Jokic is a shell. Like forget shell of himself. He's just out there playing the part. I don't see any big doing work. And Carmelo's a shell of himself as well. And Carmelo's going to have to come out there and play ball to help them have a fourth gun. I would want to say Portland advances, but all signals to Denver at least getting by these guys, but I really want to say Portland goes at it and Dame goes off and causes hell to whoever's guarding them at the guard position. But it's tough for me, especially the way that the Blazers close out the season. They look poor. They look very poor to be at the position that they're at. And it hurts me to say this, as much as people have been talking about breaking them up, I think they may end up doing it, regardless if I like it or not. I would love to see CJ and Dame stay together. I'm a big CJ fan. I mean, I like Dame a lot too, but ever since CJ came out of school and coming into the league, I've always supported him, and this is a good situation that it's a 1-2 punch, and they just haven't had the 3, 4, 5 to help them. It's just been them two and nobody else. I mean, Norman's been picked up from Toronto, but I don't know if he's going to be a mainstay. I don't even know how long or much sand is in the hourglass with Carmelo Anthony. I really want to say Portland, but I think Denver advances in this matchup.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Eric, do you agree with TP? I mean, you know, it's a good matchup, you know, Dame Dollar, and that he can go off at any point, but is he enough to get past the Joker and these Denver Nuggets that are looking like they're playing some great basketball, even without Jamal Murray?
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Blazers, this is going to be another disappointment, you know, quick elimination from the playoffs. And I kind of feel bad for Lillard because of it. But, yeah, they just don't have enough help. You're going against a Denver Nugget team that has so many weapons. Michael Porter Jr. has emerged. The Joker, they're getting great performance out of P.J. Dozier. Their rookie Facundo Campazzo has been going off. Then they got Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap coming off the bench. The addition of Aaron Gordon was huge. There's just too many weapons here. And I think if Jamal Murray was healthy, this Nugget team would actually be in the talks of getting to the NBA Finals. They're that good. So they have great chemistry. They play great together. And, yeah, it's just unfortunately for the Blazers, Denver is going to win this series pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hope Dame, you know, can put on a fight, you know. Serious, what do you think, Nuggets and the Blazers? What do you see happening in the series?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I guess these guys just caught amnesia and forgot what time it is, but I've seen a guy named Dame Dollar in a couple of series. I've seen a guy named Dame Dollar by himself, you know, orchestrate, you know, a run and get this team to a Western Conference Finals. And no disrespect to the Denver Nuggets and, you know, their fans and this, that, and the third, but at the end of the day, man, I'm not betting against this man. I can't do it. I lost too much money betting against this man over the course of his career. I'm going to rock with that dude until he shows me that he can't rock with him, because he just has proven it over the course of playoff basketball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, we spoke about it when we started talking about, when we were talking about the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers game, like the lights are on bright, who's going to shine bright? And Dame Dollar has done it time and time and time again. And this time, you know, like TP alluded to, you know, CJ is healthy. You know what I'm saying? You know, Melo has been there, done that. I mean, you're not asking Melo to come in and do much. You know what I'm saying? Just contribute. My man Powell won, you know, a championship, you know, with the Raptors. He got championship DNA.
Wait, what was that last name again? Say that last name again.
Lord, see, you know, here he go.
Wait, help me. I didn't hear it. I missed it.
That guy got some championship DNA in him, so I mean, he's gonna be somebody that can shoulder some of the burden. So I'm not gonna sit here and say that, you know, if Denver wins it's gonna be easy, because they don't have a backcourt to deal. They don't have a backcourt guy that can deal with Dame Dollar. They just don't. You know what I'm saying? So honestly, I'm saying Portland wins this series in 7.
I mean, I would love to see that. I just, it's a lot. The Joker MVP candidate. And the problem is Denver is really good on offense. Porter, if he had, you know, emerged earlier, he would be a six-man consideration for real. I think he is. But I think he'd be a stronger one over Clarkson, who I think is just the front runner for the sixth man. I think we've all said that on the blog that we all contributed on. Thanks for doing that, guys. Fun time. But honestly, it's Portland's defense and the fact that they don't play defense. That's why I can't put them in there. They don't play defense. And, you know, if you don't play defense in the playoffs, especially in a seven-game series, you're not going to win. Ask the Wizards. They did not defend at all, and they got blitzed. I mean, you know, oh God, I really want Dame to win because I really like him. I think CJ, to TP's point, he's a good kid. I think he's a good fit with Dame at times when they're going. Melo, he's a great story. You know, you could almost, if he wasn't so great, you could probably put Melo in an improved player category just because they left him for dead. But I'm just looking at the fact that they do not play defense. They just don't. And it's gonna come back to bite him. And I this couldn't be a worse matchup for him with a guy like Joker who could control the offense as a point center, pretty much. Almost averages a triple double as a center with assists. It's just insanity. So that's why I would take the Nuggets probably in six. But you know, Dame, just because he can score, he'll get a game or two. It won't be like a gentleman sweep, but he'll get a game or two and make it close. But I just don't see the Nuggets losing because of the defense that the Blazers don't play. But yeah, I mean, let's move over to the East and then we could wrap it up. You know, great show as always, boys. You know, we could talk about we did talk about Boston and the Nets a little bit. Let's kind of clean that up. Boston did play their way into the seventh seed. They have the Nets waiting for them. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie, who has better things to think about, going up against the Celtics. You know, handicap this for me, TP. What do you like or don't like about this series for the Celtics? Can they get a game or two from the Nets? Because I don't know if anybody's going to pick them, but can they get a game or two? And if you're on mute, take yourself off mute.
You did it all show. I'm going to be booing. I'm running my mouth, too. I'm having a whole talk right here, too.
So
I'm
going to
be brutally honest.
Show.
And I hate to be brutal, man. They may get swept. Without Jaylen Brown, they need every hand on deck to stop them. Harden coming back. Kyrie cooking like he's out of control. I didn't even know. I found out yesterday or 2 days ago that he's a part of the 50-40-90 club. Like, Kyrie was on that type of burn this season, and KD is back. And knowing that they got a point to prove, boy, oh, boy. Yeah. Tatum may have put up a good 50. He's going to need to do that every single night against the Nets. Unless the Nets just collapse or don't have good games one night here or there, I really feel like Brooklyn's going to put the tools to them and pull the brooms out the closet.
Yeah, I
mean,
if Kyrie decides he doesn't want to be bothered, he'd just rather do other things, they might get a game or two. I really think they might get one game as a gentleman sweep. I don't see them. I just don't see it. Eric, what do you got? Nets, Celtics.
I'm gonna have to agree with Timeless here, especially with the point the Nets have to prove. I think they're going to come out gunning. I think it's the playoffs now, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they tighten up and play some defense. But in order for the Celtics to have a chance without Jaylen Brown, 50-point nights. That's what's going to have to happen in a game like Kemba Walker had, too. They're going to have to be firing on all cylinders. And, maybe they can win a game. I think realistically the Nets are going to take them out in five. You know, the Celtics will win a game when they're down 2-0 or 3-0 just to, you know, the Nets just, you know, kind of, you know, being tired or not worrying about it. You know, we see that a lot in the playoffs. Teams go ahead that high and they lose one and then come back and finish it off. I think that's the best the Celtics are going to get this year.
Absolutely. Serious. I mean, what do you got? Celtics, Nets.
You know, here's the funny thing. Like, I really want to break out broomsticks, you know, but I can't because at the end of the day, you will be coached by Mike D'Antoni and Steve Nash, of which none of these brothers understand the concept of defense. So you're going to build this monster league And then you're going to let Boston catch fire and get hot. And, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have Cash, you know, hitting stuff they have no business hitting. I mean, Kemba still, that dude, Jake, you know, Jaylen Brown is hurt, but Kemba can still give you, you know, 30-something-odd. Jason Tatum just went for 50. You know what I'm saying? So I think they get a game. You know what I'm saying? I'm not bold enough to jump out there on a limb and say two games. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to be as much of a blowout as people think because, once again, you know, neither one of these teams play defense. So if somebody catches fire, it's going to be a fuego. And I've seen both teams do it.
And a situation where Kemba's been playing porous all season long, that's one outburst that he scored 30, and you said he could still give you 30. They are talking about getting rid of Kemba. I've been talking to people that are close to the Boston organization. They are talking about getting rid of Kemba. He's going to either have his hands full dealing with Kyrie, which we know Kemba don't play no defense, or if the switch-up happens, yeah, have a good time trying to deal with James Harden, a 6'6 guard that's been going out of his mind. Like, so, listen, we'll just see it happen. It might be a gentleman's sweep or 4-1, but I really feel for nothing, but I agree to disagree, but especially, I don't know who's going to DKD. Are they going to put Tatum there? And they continue to question defense, but that mantra has been gone since January, February. Like, now it's like, how are you going to outscore 130? You score, we score. Let's see you continue to do this. And you talk about them defending who? Marcus Smart going to D, Harden? Like, that's good night. I would love to see that happen all game long. That'd be a laugher. They're going to have to figure this one out, too. So I agree or disagree. That's hilarious to me.
Marcus Smart is a pest. He's like a gnat at a barbecue. You know what I'm saying? He's just going to annoy the heck out of somebody until, you know, he gets the player to get themselves out of a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll talk somebody out of their whole mental. So that's how Marcus Smart plays deep. But, I mean, man, you know, that Stevens has been here before. You know what I'm saying? I honestly think that he's going to figure something out. You know what I'm saying? Am I picking him to win the series? Oh, hell no. Am I picking him to get more than the game? Oh, hell no. But at the end of the day, I do think that he's going to figure something out. I mean, if they get a game, more than likely, it may be game one. I think they may get game one.
In
going
Brooklyn?
Shock the world. No, yeah.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We could talk off air about that one. I will. Every last bit of that smoke, I got cigars.
Listen, I mean, I feel like Boston's gonna lose the first two games. They'll get one in Boston, and then bring it back to Brooklyn to get that beat down. I mean, I'll take Kemba in New York. I don't care. He should have came home in the first place. He shouldn't have went to Boston. But because we need a point guard in the worst way, Elfrid Payton. Please lose your way to the Garden. Please just go somewhere else. I don't care where you go. Go to the Westchester Knicks. Don't come to the Garden. But I mean,
the Westchester
Knicks. yeah, the G League. Please, I can't with him. I can't. He has regressed so bad. We'll get to that in a minute. But I don't see it. Tatum can. No, he can't D up. Nobody can D up KD. But you put him on him. You put Kemba on Irving. Harden's gonna have a feast. And then you haven't even brought up Joe Harris yet. So it's like, oh God, it's just like, thanks for playing. Thanks for coming. I just don't see it happening. I really don't. Gentlemen sweep. Nets in five for me. So let's go to the Hawks and my New York Knicks. We hear the Knicks, baby. It's just breathe it in. Breathe that playoff air in. Breathe it in, fellas. Knicks back in the playoffs. The Garden's going to be rocking. 4-seed New York Knicks against a very good Hawks team. Sirius, I'll come to you first. I know you got that hate for the Knicks, so I'll let you get out of the way first. Knicks Heat. I mean, Knicks Hawks, what do you got?
This feels so good. This feels so, so good. So, so good. I'm going with the Atlanta Hawks.
Hater.
To no surprise of anybody. You know,
hater.
I honestly believe that since you have no backcourt, I think Trae Young's going to go for at least 30-some-odd a game because you ain't got nobody in your organization that can check him. I do like what the New York Knicks have done with R.J. Barrett. I do like, as we've always alluded to, the acquisition of Derrick Rose. I think he kind of brings a certain toughness to that second unit. Julius Randle is no slouch. He is no scrub. He definitely deserves, you know, the flowers that, you know, he's awarded. Unless you're talking about putting him in an MVP candidate, then we're going to have an argument. With that being said, I think this goes seven. I will not be surprised if this goes seven, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be too much Trae Young. You know, I think the Atlanta Hawks win it, but I think it goes seven, which is good for basketball because the Knicks are, again, back in the playoffs. And as a basketball enthusiast, I like it. But as a carrying card member of the Barry Jordan Hater Club, F all the Knicks. I can't do the Knicks today.
I mean, you can keep that card. I mean, nobody cares. I mean, it's a one of one because everybody loves the villain.
Negative, sir.
No, Malik, where you at? Wake up, Malik. Malik, come to Uncle Villain. Come to Uncle Villain. You know you love Uncle Villain. I come in with my Cosby sweater and my mask, and I give him all the treats and candy.
Stop it now. Stop it now.
Listen. The Hawks better hope they don't go to seven games because I don't see them going into the Garden and winning a game seven. But
I'll see them.
Eric,
game
I'll come
one.
Right to you. Eric, I'll come to you. Hawks and well, first Corey Kluber, New York Yankees, just pitched a no hitter, the sixth no hitter in baseball so far in the season.
Congratulations.
There hasn't been the most no-hitters in a season, I think, in a season was eight. There have been six so far. We haven't even gotten out of the month of May. Six no-hitters in baseball in the month of May. I'm sure we're going to talk about it tomorrow night on the Baseball Buffet. Everybody come in and get a plate. Listen to that show. Great show with Nate Law and David Cuffinson. So, you know, listen, wow, dead ball, too many strikeouts, too many guys striking out, and now you got no hitters coming in. So, but Eric, I'll come to you. Knicks Hawks, what do you got?
This is going to be one of the most exciting playoff series in the playoffs. These teams are evenly matched. They both got good production off the bench. Trae Young is definitely going to go off and get his. But I do slightly favor the Knicks just because they, in my eyes, they have the little deeper bench than Atlanta. And if Atlanta's firing on all cylinders, of course they can win the series. But the Knicks are playing great. They're back in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to, you know, blow this opportunity. They're great coached, just like the Atlanta Hawks with Nate McMillan. You got two top-notch coaches going at each other. This is going to be a fun series, and I definitely do agree it's going to go seven games, but the Knicks are going to pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a dud, or this could be a really good series, and I think two young teams is going to make for a really good series. TP, I'll come to you, brother. Knicks Hawks, what do you got for me? What do you think? Who do you think is going to take this series, and what are the keys in this series so far?
So, you my brother, right, Barry?
Yeah, of course. Day one.
You love me, bro? You love me, bro?
Oh, God. Here we go, man. This can't be. This
Why
can't
you do that? Wait. Do you love me, bro? You love me?
Yes, brother. Yes. I got love for you.
Knicks sweep.
Wow.
See you later, Atlanta. Bye. Bye. Look, they already dealing with injuries. The Knicks play defense. And if Derrick Rose score 1 point, the Knicks go crazy, go on fire. And then Julius Randle get hyped. And the rest of the team get hyped. I've never seen a team feed off of it. It looked like gremlins. The night come, they feed them, and they go crazy. Derrick Rose is striped, and the rest of them fall in line. Like, they are going to sweep the Hawks. Good night.
Wow. I mean, I can't go that far. I mean, the Hawks are a really good team. Nate McMillan, the job that he's done since he came over and took over this team is just incredible. You know, Bogdanovich is playing really good basketball. I think since he's been back, averaging about 18 points a game, really being a Robin to Trae Young's Batman. Trae Young is an unbelievable scorer, but I think the fact that he doesn't have to go out there and put up, you know, 40 points a night because he's getting help. You know, Collins, I think we've mentioned before, a sixth man of the year or a most improved player candidate, the season that he's having. But, I mean, I'm looking at a young Hawks team, you know, I can't go with this. Listen, if this is sweet, you know, New York's going to be on fire. But
Don't be scared. I'm here. Don't be scared. I'll take off the blazer for you. Don't worry. Don't be scared. You want to know why?
I can't. Listen,
let me tell you something. Just like in South Beach, Florida, also in Atlanta, Georgia, a lot of New Yorkers gone there to retire. They have fans there.
Okay.
And no Nas that comes here. He tells you that there's no home field advantage in Atlanta, whether it's football, baseball, basketball. There's no home court. And picture how these people feel about a guard and Derrick Rose that they want to see be successful. Don't be scared. And especially if that switch-up happens and they have the nerve to have Trae Young on Derrick Rose, good night. Good night. It's going to happen a lot. It's going to happen a lot. Or quickly. Whoever you want. Whichever guard he's going to have to deal with. He's going to have to deal with one of them. He has to deal with one of them. They can't hide him too much, so hey, pick poison. You better hope Nate got a team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I really love the fact the Knicks defense is elite. They're one of the better defensive teams in the league, if not the best. I think the Lakers have, on paper, the best defense, but the Knicks are right there. The defense travels. I love obviously Julius Randle, top five MVP candidate. I don't care which state it is. You know, J.R. Barrett, really playing some good basketball, but I think the key has been, to your point, guys, is Derrick Rose. When he plays and he plays well, this is a really good Knicks team that can play with anybody. They can't beat everybody, but they can play with them, and they give a lot of team fits. I mean, I've seen them two games against the Nets give them fits because, you know, Derrick Rose is that guy. You know what I mean? So, but it's really Tibbs. Who was a coach of the year candidate, is how long is he going to stick with Elfrid Payton? I mean, Elfrid Payton has played himself. If it was another team, he'd be in the doghouse right now. If he doesn't get that plus minus up, I mean, his plus minus is horrendous right now. If he doesn't get it up, I'm looking at him and saying, you're not going to see the floor. I would start Derrick Rose. I'm bringing Frank Ntilikina off the bench, putting quickly at the two, and that's how I'm playing. You can't just keep putting him out there because you like his size on defense. I can't sign up for that. If he's not contributing, not helping, he's not even seeing the fourth quarter. Why is he even starting? Why is he even getting playing time if that's the case? So it's going to be how long they stick with him. But to your point, you know, Trae Young ain't guarding nobody, so he better figure it out pretty quick. He better guard somebody. So, but yeah, I like the Knicks. I like them in six. I do think the Hawks are talented enough. Even though the Knicks have swept them this year, three games, I think the Hawks will get a game or two out of there because, you know, I don't know if anybody can stay with Trae Young for entire series, entire game. But I think the Knicks are just – their defense is way better than the Hawks. So I'm going to give the edge to the Knicks. And then finally, another really good series, rematch from last year's bubble. So, you know, we had a rematch with the Clippers and the Mavs, and now in the East we have the Heat and the Bucks, the three-seeded Bucks, who have really played some good basketball down the stretch, and so have the Heat. They finally put it together. They're starting to play. They're healthy. They're starting to play some good basketball. Bam Adebayo, Defense of the Year candidate, Butler and Hero starting to put up points. But the Bucks, with their big three, bringing in some Norman, P.J. Tucker, I'm sorry, P.J. Tucker and Drew Holiday and company really have this team playing some good basketball. this is going to be a fun series. I really like this series. TP, I mean, Heat, Bucks, who do you got?
The upset of the playoffs, Miami Heat knocks
Ooh.
Off the Bucks. I feel like there's more weapons in South Beach. I feel like the blueprint is out there. On Giannis. Giannis gets the ball at the top of the key, puts his head down, draws a charge. Like all they gotta do is make that wall happen and make him pick up those fouls and put them in foul trouble and make Chris Middleton have to play ball and make Drew Holiday play past the third quarter. Because he's one of those first, second, and third quarters and then just lets things happen in the fourth. I need to see him play a consistent four quarters for them to make things happen. And, of course, they're going to get their games in Milwaukee and make this an interesting series. But I feel like Miami has the gall to go up there and steal one in Wisconsin in comparison to South Beach and having Milwaukee get enamored with what's outside. I think Miami got to the finals for a reason and could push to make that interesting, especially why a lot of people feel like Miami's a threat to Brooklyn. So if they want to keep that going, they got to win this series and make it hot. Outside of Drew Holiday, like if Middleton doesn't give them a consistent, I want to be fair with the number, like 18 to 22, I feel like there's trouble there. There's trouble there. So I'm going to go Heat. Jimmy Buckets, Trevor Ariza, Bam Adebayo. I mean, there's guns. Kendrick Nunn, I'm naming guns. And don't forget, if I'm going coach for coach, Spoelstra over Budenholzer by a mile.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, you bring up great points about last year's series. So, Sirius, I'll come right to you. I mean, Heat, Bucks, TP's got the upset. What do you see?
You know what? For as long as I can remember, I have, you know, been on the Giannis, you know, bus. You know, I don't think he's that decent, blah, blah, blah. He can't get out of the playoffs, this, that, and the third. I think this is the year where he actually, you know, makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I really do. I think the acquisition of Holiday is huge. You know, you get P.J. Tucker, a guy who could play defense. I think this year Giannis has significant help, not to mention that he's healthy. I think the Bucks move on here. I think they move on in six games. I think if you want to talk about a team that will, you know, give Brooklyn fits, as TP alluded to, I think this Milwaukee Bucks team does it. You know, they hold the season series versus them. Now, granted, you know, they haven't had all three. The Brooklyn Nets haven't had all three. But at the end of the day, I think Milwaukee is just playing some decent ball right now. And I think this is a time for them to kind of avenge last season's loss and, you know, make a run here. I'm picking Milwaukee in six.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I hope they do get it done. I really do. Because Giannis isn't a bad guy. He's a good guy. But his game is predictable. And you know, the Heat really kind of solved that kind of riddle of Giannis, man. He can't shoot. He drives, head down, and looks to kick. I mean, you know, they can figure it out. And he makes it really simple on the defense at times if you can defend him. Eric, Bucks, Heat. We got one for the Bucks. We got one for the Heat. You'll be the tiebreaker, and then the villain will mess it up. So what do you got?
The Miami Heat, no question. They already have the Bucks number, and you take Giannis out of the game, like Timeless alluded to. They don't really have much after Middleton, you know what I mean? And they need to have their whole team firing on all cylinders. The Miami Heat has an extremely deep bench. They got the experience. They got a better coach. And I don't see Milwaukee being able to beat them. The Heat is a dangerous team. They're a threat to any team in the Eastern Conference. This is the defending Eastern Conference champions. So, and it's the same team. They just gotten a little better in my eyes. So I think the Heat win this game in six, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the Heat, you know, in the Bucks series goes at least six or seven. I do want the Bucks to make a run, because I think they are a dangerous team. If they get by the Heat, they will get to – I think they can make some noise, but I just don't see them getting by the Heat. I really feel like Giannis, as good as a player, as dominant as he is, he's just predictable. And the Heat have figured him out, and they're gonna make this look really easy at times how they defend him. I think this goes six. I think the Heat, the Bucks are too good not to get a couple games out of this, but I think it'll be back and forth. I think it'll be like a 2-2 series, and then the Heat will turn it on and then just take it. They'll steal game five, and then game six they'll just kind of put them out of their misery. I really do. I really feel the Heat, now that they're healthy, they're playing good basketball down the stretch. They're a really good defensive team. They rotate. They defend really well. I think that's going to be a real big problem for the Heat, the way they're going to pack it in, though. I want the Heat in the Bucks series to go seven. I wanted the Bucks to really kind of get moving and really get to those Eastern Conference Finals, like you said, Sirius. I just don't see it. I think anybody they could have faced, they would have won. If they faced the Knicks or the Hawks, they would have gone on. But the Heat, it's just not the matchup for them. And the Heat, they're going to make them pay. That's how I call it. That's how I'm calling it. So 3-1. But, you know, it's going to be a fun series. Go ahead.
No, you think that they only get one game. Interesting.
Wow. I think they'll get two. I really do. I think they're too good.
No. I thought I heard you say one game.
No, I said, you know, it'll be a 2-2 series, and then the Heat will win the last two and knock them out. And it's kind of like they'll steal game five, kind of like what we saw years ago with Derek Fisher hitting that shot at the buzzer against the Spurs. Like, it'll be that kind of game. They'll steal that game five, break their hearts, and then they'll come back and just crush it. And then, you know, that'll be that. That's kind of how I see it, because these two teams are going to slug it out. They're going to battle. But, yeah, I it's going to be fun. The Eastern Conference has a long way to go to match up with the West, but I think these series that we're going to see, I don't think the 1-8 series is going to be very entertaining. I see that whoever matches up with the Sixers is a sweep, but I think the 2-7 can be, it could go either way. I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep, but I think the three six and the 5-4 are really going to be interesting series, and I think this is going to be a fun series, first round in the East and in the West too. So, you know, and this is what the play-in has done, and I think this is what they want, and we're going to see a lot more of the play-in. I think this isn't the one and done. I think we're going to see the play-in for years to come in the league, and I'm happy for it. So, let's close it up. I got nothing else to cook. I mean, we could talk about the Yankees getting that no-hitter, but, I mean, you know, too much Yankee talk, TP gets upset with me. So I'll save that for the baseball buffet. But let me get some closeouts, man. Sirius, thanks for stopping in, cooking with us. Give me a close, give me a plug, and let's get out of here.
Man, it's your boy, Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703, man. Good show, as always, gentlemen. Definitely, for those of you guys who are listening, check out the blogs. Check out the merchandise on www.sportscityshows.com. We got some stuff coming up down the pipe, man. Baseball show tomorrow. I'm sure Barry's going to talk about the Yankees. We needed to get CP in there talking about the Twinkies. Should be fun, man. So, anyways, man, it's a pleasure to be with you guys, man. Your boy Sirius is gone. That'll be good.
Sirius, you better get some merchandise. I know that.
Yeah, you better know that. Eric, give me a plug, man. Thanks for stopping in, as always, brother.
As always, great show, my brothers. We did great tonight. Thanks to all of our listeners and supporters. Check us out, sportscitychefs.com. Make sure to get the new merch we got out there. Represent. Tell a friend to tell a friend, folks. Have a blessed night.
Absolutely, man. We're doing big things. So, listen, get to the website, read the blogs. A new blog went up today, a baseball blog by David. We got some more stuff on the way. I got a little series that I'm going into next week. Well, I started with the top five point guards of all time, so I will move over to probably the small forwards. Everybody knows not small forwards, shooting guards. Everybody know who my number one is. You know, just check my license. You'll know who it is. But, you know, everything else is a mystery. So tune into that. Get to the website. Read that. Get the merch. Got shirts. Got hoodies. Probably out of season right now, depending on where you are. But if you're across the pond or in Canada, you might need a hoodie. So holla at us. New merch is coming out. We got the fresh logo. The new look, Sports City Chefs website. The new logo, we're doing some things on there, so I hope everybody likes that. I know the boss man loves it just like I do. Fresh coat of paint on that. Long time coming, but listen, podcast, we got a show tomorrow. Baseball buffet, we got the timeless brunch. Had a great show on Sunday. We're keeping that alive, keeping that going. We'll be probably talking about the games on Saturday, recapping that, and then getting into the Sunday matchups. But a lot of stuff to do, you know, tell a friend, all that good stuff. So get to the site, get the reading, and listen to the shows. And as always, TP, you know what to do. You know what time it is. Close us out, brother.
Check out the website, the blogs, the interviews, the chefs. Merchandise, like you said, been updated thanks to the villain, man. He's actually showing a good side lately. But Tupac got a song. I hope you heard it. It's called To Live and Die in L.A. Boy, it ain't looking good for purple and gold right now. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, it's cooking in the kitchen, y'all. Now you know.
Sports City, chefs. Chef, Sports City, Chef, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Chef. Kaboom, Sports City, Chef is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut.